Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Ref. God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. I have been really swamped this last couple of days, and even getting in here into the studio to get the show going, it took a little bit of effort to get here and get things going because we've been doing a video as well, so we're trying to fit the video along with our shooting schedule for the video and along with our regular schedule for Midwatch, and it's doing okay. I think we're down pack on it. My goal and my hope is to eventually have both shows just running simultaneously on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I know I'm just recording everything or doing live everything because most of the Midwatch TV shows are going to be pre-recorded on some of the things, and you know that's fine with me. that is fine with me because I tell you that I'm just excited. I'm excited to have. You're just the opportunity to have my own show running and my own show doing things, and we're just really excited about that because we're really excited about just putting this out there. I just texted a friend of mine, Daniel, just before I came to the station, and told him that hey, we finally got the TV up and running. I mean, how long have you heard me talk about the TV? How long have you heard me talk about the things that we have on there? And before I get into my segment, I'm going to tell you about the next segment because that's how we roll, brother. And that is the next segment is Deborah Cody. She will be with us. She's written a book called Fear, Faith, and a Fistful of Chocolate with Deborah Cody. And we're gonna talk to her about that and have some questions with her and just to face fear. And that's what the first segment we're going to talk about is also about fear. And we're gonna chase fear out of your life. Praise God. That's our plan today. Between both of us, we're gonna make sure that you are aware where fear is taking over in your life, and that where you can change some of those things. Because you know, fear will keep you from getting where God wants you to get to. That's just basic. That's just common sense. Fear has always hindered people. The people didn't go into the promised land because of fear. Are you hearing me? If you look at fear, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith saying, "I trust you, God. No matter what, you're gonna be able to do things for me. You're gonna be able to face this challenge." With faith, fear will keep you from doing it. Got some scriptures for you in a minute, but just want to give you an update what's going on here at the station. Rev Media TV's new show. Well, it's a show that's kind of been on for a few years, and it kind of ties with today's topic about fear. I started a show years back on video first. Before I was on radio, I started on video, and I was preaching the gospel through the airwaves. Praise the Lord. Through the airwaves, I was started just as where I could. I didn't have anything else, but I started where I could, and that was where I was at as far as just getting wherever I could get to put the show together. I took as many classes as I can at the local place to teach you how to video and stuff, and not because they need to learn how to video. Praise God, I've always been videoing for all my ministry, all my life, almost from the military all the way to here. But I needed equipment. Back in the 90s, early 90s, equipment was expensive. Oh, my gosh. Just to get a Canon XL1 was going to cost you $5,000. You can pick them up for $15 now. So their cost was so enormous that I couldn't get into the video. I couldn't break into the video industry. I could not break into it. And I've tried to make my own broadcast. Couldn't do it. And even built a garage. Made it up. It built a studio in the garage. We built a church in it, then built a studio in it, and nothing came out of it. Nothing came out of it at all. Nothing came out of it. Made a couple of short videos, and that was it. I was so disappointed. And when you get disappointed in faith, when you get not in faith but in your walk through faith, you get disappointed. Fear pops up, and I tell you one of the fears that I had, and I'll be honest with you. And that is that what I was going to make on video was not going to be good or was not going to be everything that I wanted it to be. And it really broke my heart and things. And I tried as many times as I tried. I edited. I did everything I could. And nothing ever produced. So I never picked up the camera to do video. Of course, I took some small things here and there, made little videos and stuff, but never a full launch of a broadcast. And then this station came along, and I was like, Lord, I'm going to have to face those fears. I'm going to have to build this studio. And the equipment came along. And after a year of getting everything together and taking a deep breath, how many of us take a deep breath? Praise God. How many of us take a deep breath before we get into something we know that we're disappointed in? I tell you, I do. I do. I take a good deep breath and say, okay, Lord, how are you gonna change things for me in this time? How are you gonna make things different this time, Lord? And I don't know about you, but when you've been disappointed, you've got to get back up. You cannot be held back. You cannot be held back at all, my friends. You got to stand up and be excited about what God is going to do for your life. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Our 800 number is 888-642-4767. And please don't call me about your security system. Today, someone's been calling the 800 line and says, I've had my security system go off in the middle of the night. What do I do? I'm like, I don't know. We're a prayer line, buddy. We love you, but you got the wrong number. And the man still keeps calling me. He still keeps calling me. And if he keeps calling me, I'm going to put his number out on the website, or put it out on the airwaves right now and tell everybody to call him. No, I'm just playing. I wouldn't do that. But I'm just telling you that this is our 800 number, 888-642-4767. And if you want prayer, you hit extension 7, and it'll go to the prayer line. Well, praise God. I've got a couple of scriptures I want to get to you. But, of course, my Bible's in the other studio, so I have to look this up in the Bible Gateway. If you haven't used Bible Gateway, I tell you, it's gonna change the way you do things. It's gonna change the way you do things when you're preparing your message, because you can basically type anything in this thing and it pulls it up. I'm sure there's other websites, and I'm not promoting them. I'm just telling you what I use, and they have little apps for your phone. I have one on my phone. I have one on there, and it's just amazing what these things can do. It's amazing how these things work out and how we can get things rolling with them. But let me tell you, spirit of fear. Spirit of fear is crazy, my friends. Let me read you two scriptures. We'll go into that in just a minute. But I tell you, after the first show, I got disappointing results because our video switcher was just so bad. I mean, we spent like several hundreds of dollars, you know, to get this. Plus, we retail it as well. We're a reseller for it, so we've been selling them to other churches to help them as well. And I'm like, this is a good product, but my computer is either outdated. It's a Mac, but it's a couple of years old. And because they keep changing the versions on these things, I don't know. I have Leopard, I guess, and other things are Lions. And Lions are better than Leopards, I guess. Who knows? But anyway, it just doesn't gel. And we kept stalling. So we had to figure out a fix. And then finally, I just said this. I said, finally, I'm not going to be disappointed in video again. Come on, everybody say praise God. I'm not going to be disappointed again. I'm not going to be with my head down saying I can't do this because we can't do it. No, we know we can do it. We have everything we have to do it. I know how to edit. I know how to shoot. In fact, my color scheme was better than the professional guy's color scheme. And everybody said that. I tested my shot and their shots. But I needed to get this man on board. And one of my best friends, my best friend, on board with my stuff, with what I'm doing. And it took, oh my gosh, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of just disappointment. We started March 28th, before that possibly, and it just did not work. And I'm like, man, we have all these videos. They're not going to go to waste. I did some good video footage out there at the NRB, and we're about to get some more video footage. We got to start airing this stuff. People are asking about the broadcast, and hey, we're a TV station. We got to get this thing rolling. So I went ahead and just said, well, this is what we're going to do. We're an internet station, and it's okay if we go straight to internet. So we start broadcasting straight to internet with the hiccups and everything, brother. It didn't matter. We're just going to do the show. We're just going to make the show happen. We're just going to put it out there, and we're going to learn on our way. And My friend, he is an excellent editor. He is a perfect editor. He knows how to edit shows. He knows how to edit video to where it's perfection. He has a good eye to see when to change the scenes and when to lift, put up the names of the person that's speaking and the scriptures. Very good eye, good ear. But he's used to being in the studio and doing it on his own time, drinking his chai tea. He's an Indian fella. He's a good friend of mine. And trust me, I've been to India many times. I can say this. They take a lot of tea breaks. And I take tea breaks when I'm there too. But this guy is extreme on those tea breaks. And praise God, that's fine. And they went over there and he looked at it. And the first day we did the show, he ran out. He left. He just ran out the door. He said, I can't do it. He got afraid of the system. And I said, dude, you got to get over that. It's okay. And you know what? You can deal with people however you want to deal with them. I've been a manager all my life on different levels of different ministries and companies and businesses. And I tell you, I have been blessed to learn how to manage people. And I just say, look, either you can run away from this and you cannot do it, but this is the future of broadcasting. This is where the playing field is going to be leveled for us to be able to compete with top shows out there. But it's going to take time to learn it. Don't be afraid of pressing the wrong button. And I should never have told that man that because he's been pressing a lot of the wrong buttons. But he's learning. He made himself stay the second time and the third time. And now he's calling me. Let's do this. Once he was able to get the broadcast down, once he was able to make the broadcast happen, oh, he just jumped up. He just jumped up. He was ready. He was ready to go forward with this and to do great things with it. He's calling me now. See, when you get over fear, it's a good thing. Let me read these scriptures before we run out of time. For God, it's the 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. But of power, of love, and a sound mind. Another one is Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, my friends, when we do things for the Lord, fear is going to come up and challenge. It's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge you, and it's going to make you want to stop. Fear will always hinder God's plans for you. Fear will always hold you back. Fear will keep you chased. Will cause you to walk away. I can't even read my own handwriting. Can cause you to walk away. I'm like, chase you. Cause you to walk away. Listen to me. It will cause you not to pick something up that may have disappointed you. Fear. Fear is a controlling spirit. It comes in and it keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. And I tell you what, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. A good friend of mine's brother was on a plane one time, and he's a pilot, and he flew a plane. Well, during this one mission trip, he actually went through some power lines, and he hit these power lines, and he knew he should have been dead. He should have been dead on the spot. But when he landed everything safely, the plane was damaged, and they barely made a safe landing, and they were able to get away from the government as well, because it's illegal to hit the power lines or fly near the power lines in the country that they were in. And you know, he was a little shaken up, but he didn't realize how much he was shaken up until the next day they got another plane and they were going to have to go to finish up the mission trip at a different area now. And he just could not get on the plane. He could not get on the plane. Fear was keeping him from on the plane. But he remembered he preached a sermon once. And at this place that he preached, there was so much fear in the land that he was preaching that there was not many miracles. There's not many things happening. And he said, Lord, there's something wrong. And he called his father back in the States, and his dad told him that fear was a spirit, and the spirit of fear was keeping those people from doing it, and that spirit was gonna, the only way to get rid of it was for him to rebuke it. And he was the only one that can cast fear out of his life. And that night, he prayed all night, and that fear was gone. And he was able to hold a great, successful conference. So he remembered that time in his life, turned around, and he went and he prayed that fear out of the next night. He stood one more night in the hotel, prayed it out, and he got to the plane, and he was able to fly off in the plane and complete God's work. God wants you to not be afraid of what's happening out there in life. He's given you power, love, and a sound mind. Power of the Holy Ghost, praise God. Power to take control of your situation. He's given you the love of God that is perfect love, casts away all fear, is what the Word of God says. And then the sound mind, he wants you to have peace. peace when you sleep, peace when you wake up, peace in your life. The greatest thing you could ever want from God is peace in your life. Those things he has made for you, and he's put these together. And I tell you, God is able to do wonderful, wonderful things for each of us. When we open up our heart and we trust him, God is able to do the things that we want him to do. And what he wants us to do as well. Praise God. Well, those are a couple of things I'm going to tell you about fear. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that, hey, you know, no matter what, my friends, you can accomplish great things. Hey, our station is now broadcast on television on our new IPTV. We can say that now, that we have two shows out there that are rolling. Even though we have several shows on there, now we have Midwatch. And it broadcasts on Tuesdays from 7:30 to 8, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7:30 to 8. We may have to add an extra day. Praise God. You know that God is blessing so much, we may have to add an extra day because of all the footage and shows that we're recording. So we'll be right back. We're going to have Miss Terry Squires with One Impact talk to you in just a second. And she's going to talk to you. I'll let her tell you what she's going to talk to you about, because it's called Old Swimsuit. I have no idea. I haven't heard it, but I trust Terry. She's an awesome woman of God, and she puts these things together for us, and she's a blessing. She's a blessing. Okay, so here's Ms. Terry Squire. We'll be right back.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Growing up a competitive swimmer, I was thrilled when my sons decided to take up the sport. Daily, I'd arrive a few minutes early before their practice ended so I could watch their progression, assess their strokes for later discussions, and give them a few tips to make them a little faster. But then one afternoon at the pool, someone else caught my attention. Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is based on my One Impact Bible published by Zondervan, and it's all about our one true God, the one person you are in Christ, and the one impact we're all called to do. You know, this someone was a young girl, and she wasn't the typical swimmer. She wore an old, out-of-date swimsuit that was two sizes too big, and she had a shoestring tied in between the shoulder straps to keep it in place. And she struggled to reach the end of the pool. She was always last and always being passed up by the better trained girls. And the other girls would wait for their friends to climb out of the pool, and they'd giggle and run back to the starting blocks, and nobody waited for her. She always walked back to the starting blocks alone. But day after day, she'd show up for practice and do it all over again in her old, worn, shoestring rig swimsuit. And I wondered, what made her come back day after day and struggle to get to the other end, and then run back to the starting blocks alone and do it all over again? Isn't that what God calls us to do in our own lives? Don't give up when it's hard to get to the other end. Keep going. Keep pursuing. Keep persevering. Even if you feel like you're on your own, Jesus tells us, I am with you. You know, this young girl taught me something day after day, watching her determination to make the team. This young girl made an impact on my life. And as time passed, the first swim meet finally arrived, and I smiled as I watched my son stand as a team member on the deck around the pool. I was a proud mom. And then I saw the girl who struggled day after day to swim to the end of the pool. She wore the coolest top-of-the-line Speedo swimsuit with a matching swim cap and matching goggles. And I smiled and I thought to myself, she might not be the typical swimmer, but she sure looks like one. She never found out who bought her the new swim gear. I didn't want her to know. And that person remains anonymous even to this day. Isn't it awesome how God works? We're called to impact the lives of others, and then He'll use someone else to impact our own lives and teach us the simple lessons of life. You know, it's the little things in life that changes the lives of others. Let this young girl remind you to persevere, to reach for the finish line. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith." Won't you join me to reach the world at www.terrysquires.com? And until next time, look around today, change a life, and make your one impact.
Amen, and we're back. Praise God. We have a very, very special guest, and I was telling her that I'm not a chocolateholic, but I found out that she is a chocolateholic. And we have Ms. Deborah Cody. How you doing, Deborah?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing great. I'm actually the step beyond chocolateholic. I called myself a choco-athlete, which means I exercise just so I can eat more chocolate.
Hey, that's a good thing to do. If there's some simple pleasures in life, enjoy yourself with them. Amen.
Amen to that.
Amen. So tell us about yourself. I mean, we know you're a writer, but tell the readers, you know, tell readers and listeners that are out there just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm actually a late bloomer as far as writing goes. By trade, I'm an occupational therapist specializing in orthopedic hand injuries, and I've been doing that for almost 35 years now. And about 9 years ago, my youngest was about to fly the coop, and I was sitting in a dentist office praying about what I should do. There was something missing, and I just wasn't sure what it was, but I knew the Lord had something for me to do. And at the time, it wasn't that I lacked for something to do. I had been in OT for all those years, working steadily and taught piano lessons for 10 years, or actually 20 years. And I had even had a stint as a college professor for a while in anatomy and physiology. And so it wasn't that I lacked anything to do, but there was a hole in my heart that needed filling. I think a lot of people can identify with that, something that's just unfulfilled. And so as I sat in that dentist office praying, I reached down and picked up a magazine and randomly opened it to an ad for a writing contest. And this light bulb just flashed on inside my head. And I said, is that it? As a child, I had always wanted to write, but it was backburnered for about 30 years while life took its, you know, toll, and I ended up doing a lot of other things besides writing. And it was amazing. And the Lord affirmed that to me, that that was what this unforeseen twist in the road was all about. So I began praying about that, and I was able to find a mentor, and I started with magazine articles, and I've had over 120 published now in international magazines and trade journals and newspapers. And then I got a newspaper column in Central Florida, where I live, and have been writing that now for about 8 years. And then books started, and that's just been an amazing, amazing journey, and it's total Papa God thing. I don't know how else to describe it, but book number 12 just came out in February.
Oh, wow. And is that the one, Fear, Faith, and a Fistful of Chocolate?
That's correct. It's actually the third in a series called Take on Life. It's a series by Barber Books for Women about issues that we all seem to have in common that we struggle with. The first book was about stress, and that was called Too Blessed to Be Stressed. And the second book was about self-control. That was called More Beauty, Less Beast. And then the third one, of course, is about fear.
Oh, wow. That's nice. And mm-hmm. What was your first book, though? What was the first one that came out?
The first book ever?
Yeah.
That was actually historical fiction. Go figure. I was praying about getting into books at that time. I had been doing the newspaper article for a while. And I just thought, Lord, I think I'm ready to climb that mountain just because it's there. So if you want it for me, and I know, you know, I'm a big proponent of if He wills it, He fulfills it, whatever the obstacles. And I'm like the poster child for that, because I'm the most non-writer you would ever come across. And so He dropped the idea in my lap via one of my patients as a hand therapist. who was an old Florida cracker with the black teeth and the dirt so deeply embedded in his face that it would never come out, one of those kind of guys. He would regale me with these awesome stories of his family that went back three or four generations, actually even more than that, in old Florida. And one of the stories that he told was about his grandmother and her journey of faith back on Merritt Island in 1904. And it captured my attention. And she had written this little memoir that was not really complete, but it was in her little old lady handwriting that she wrote when she was 85, shortly before she passed away. And I was intrigued by that story. And the Lord just placed it on my heart. This is the one. This is the story I want you to tell. So The Distant Shore was my first book, historical fiction, inspirational. And it did so well when it came out that the publisher wanted the second book within 4 months, and it had taken 2 years to write The Distant Shore. So Billowing Sails came out immediately afterwards, and I learned how to write fast at that point.
Amen, amen. So now you're a writing instructor as well?
Well, I do. I actually speak at writing conventions, and I do workshops all over the place. And I'm kind of, like I said, I'm the poster child, so I give people hope. Like, if Debbie can do it, I can do it. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So what kind of preparation did you have to take to get Fear, Faith, and A Fistful of Chocolate? And what's the theme of, the whole book? We know it's about chocolate, but...
Well, chocolate is actually the element of comfort. Amen. That we, all of us, as we deal with fear, we have to turn somewhere for comfort. And that is the element of that. And I brought that in basically to try to tell women, and, I actually get letters from men who love the book as well, but it was intended as a women's series, but it's funny how they leave my books in the bathroom because I guess the chapters are short. So now I'm a potty writer, and, never intended to be, but the men read them too, and I get some really nice comments from men.
That's good.
Who say that they really benefited from the books as well. But the point of the chocolate is to try to tell us that we really have a different type of comfort we can get from Papa God. And I try to give some tools, some very useful, helpful, easy-to-follow tools on how to do that and how to deal with the everyday fears. And in order to figure out what the everyday fears were that we most deal with, I did a survey of 500 women between the ages of 18 and 80. And my goal was to find out what were the top 10 fears that we struggle with most. And the results really surprised me. Would you like me to tell you what they are?
Yes, please.
Well, the number one fear, and this is across the age span, I had them divided up into three different age groups between 18 and 80. And the number one fear was, it was so far ahead of the number two, it was more than doubled across the entire age span. So it just tells you that this is a huge fear that women deal with on an everyday basis. And if your listeners would take just a moment to think about their own fears and what would they say their top three fears are, then they can compare them as I go over these with what the average was in the survey. But the number one fear was the loss of a loved one. And that would include a spouse, a child, or a parent. And that doesn't mean just death. That would be a separation of the relationship, that the relationship is severed, whether it was a prodigal child or a very big fight with a family member who you just never resolved, that type of a loss of a loved one.
That's amazing.
And then number two was debilitating disease or terminal illness. And the number three greatest fear was fear of failure, which was actually predominantly, it was the highest in the younger age group, the 18 to 29-year-olds, and that would make sense, of course, because these gals are starting out with their careers and their jobs and starting out as mothers, and they're all, kind of worried about producing little mass murderers as children. We all worry about that. And then number four was old age or senility, and that, of course, was predominant in the older category. As we cross that magical 50-year line, we seem to face our mortality a little bit more, clearly, and that was one of the biggest fears for the older category. And then number five was the one that I personally struggle with the most, and that was fear of the unknown, the what-ifs, those nasty what-ifs that keep us up night, just with our imaginations flying. Oh, what if this happened? And if that happened, this could probably happen. And then if that did, it's just terrible. I don't know what I'll do if that happens. And we create things we create these monsters, and they don't have faces, but we chisel features on them by the what-ifs. And we kind of, like, sink our own boats by that, and that's the one. I deal with it quite a lot in the book, and I tell about some tools that have helped me deal with those and try to harness my fear monsters so that I can not be awake all night every night. And then I'll go back to the list here. Number 6 was fear of loneliness. 7 was dependency on others. 8 was rejection. 9 was specific critters like snakes and roaches and rats. Now you're giggling. You must have a fear of those, huh?
No, I have a house full of women that are afraid of roaches.
You know what's weird? I grew up in a swamp, believe it or not, North Florida, and I can walk up to any snake. I mean, I have no problem. I carried them in my pockets. I wrapped them around my neck. No problem. But you put me in the room with a roach, and I am climbing up the wall.
Yeah, my wife's the same way.
No figure. I don't know. Why would that be scarier? But for some reason, it is. And then number 10 is fear of being judged unfairly.
Amen. That's amazing. So you were able to get a survey, and you just did this all at one time, or you just did it?
Oh, it took about 4 months, okay. And I would survey women online. I tried to get a good cross-section, not just all Christian women, but I also had quite a few people from civic organizations help me out and pass out the surveys with their groups. I had some church groups. I had some of the women's groups that I speak to. And then a lot of people went online and helped me out by turning them in that way. So I had a nice, diverse selection of people. And there were 500. Actually, we had about 600 results. But for one reason or another, we had to discard some of the surveys because they weren't, you know, filled out appropriately and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing, though. So when you've seen this, did this give you enough ammunition to go and start writing the book?
Sure did. I already had kind of some ideas of where we were headed with it, and the Lord just definitely used these ideas, and I speak about them, and I speak about a lot of other fears. There were many that were written in that didn't make the top 10, like fear of depression, fear of flying, fear of trying new things. So I talk about those in the book as well. And again, I approach it all through humor. My writing has been described as truth, gift-wrapped in humor. And the way I see it, I enter a woman's heart through the kitchen door, not the front formal living room. I try to go in through the back door so we can sit together, and I write conversationally, just like I speak, so we can sit at the kitchen table, kick off our shoes, sip our lattes, and get real with one another.
Amen. Amen. I'm flipping through your book as well. It just look at it. It's all pink.
I know. And that was a surprise to me. The publisher does little fun things sometimes. And that was a surprise. All the pages were pink. And I get the most comments about that. And my symbol for freedom from fear. And if you read the chapter in there, there's an amazing story. I had used lots and lots of real people stories in there. And one of them is a friend of mine whose name is Eddie. Yes, she's a girl named Eddie. There's a boy named Sue. She's a girl named Eddie. But she had a fear of butterflies, among other things. And it explains the reason for that from her childhood. Her brother used to chase her around the house with a butterfly, and she was raised in inner city Newark in the slums. And her brother, her parents were never around, and her brother would tell her, if I touch you with this, you're going to turn into a caterpillar. So she believed it. So she was terrified of butterflies through her life, among other things. And when the Lord delivered her from that fear at age 58, and this, I use a lot of the principles that she used in my book to explain how we can be delivered from our obsessive type of fears. But so the butterfly has become my Ebenezer. It's my help monument. It's the way that I remember that the Lord is able to set us free from our fears. And so I asked the publisher if they would mind putting a butterfly on the front of the cover, and it's a hoot if you look at it where they put the butterfly. It was like, well, look at there.
Right on the hand.
It's just funny where they. I thought they would put it in the background somewhere, but there it is, right there, sitting, looking at the chocolate, trying to figure out how to buy.
Amen, amen. You also list 5 basic categories. Can you tell us about those?
Well, in order to deal with our fears, we have to first identify them. And I came up with a simple way of putting fears into categories so that we're able to tell what it is we're dealing with and put a face to that fear monster, because we can deal with things we can see a lot better than things we can't see. And I came up with these S categories. All five of them start with the letter S, and just to make it easier to remember. The first is spurting fear. And that's like an impulsive reaction, a raw, reactive emotion, which you would have when you're facing something, like blood spurting, sort of. That's where the spurting fear comes from. For instance, if you're confronting a snake and you have a horror of snakes, or you're about to board a plane and you have a fear of flying, that's a spurting fear. And then there's the savory fear, which is a little different. That's the specific controlled event that scares us, and it involves no real danger or damage. It's actually fear within our safety zones. It's a delicious thrill, like a roller coaster or driving fast. You know, that's a savory fear. That's certainly not bad. Not all fears are bad. The Lord actually designed fear for purpose, and I talk about that a little in the book too. But savory thrill kind of gives us a way to know we're alive every now and then. I think that's why we like them so much.
So what is like fear of heights? Because I do have that.
Fear of heights, that would definitely be a spurting fear. When you're hanging up there looking over and you feel like you're supposed to jump, that kind of fear.
No, I never get that urge. I always have the urge to hold on.
My little mister, he has a problem with that one. He's terrified of heights. So when we used to go skiing, he would always stay on the ground and watch us. He just couldn't quite get up there on the mountain. Then there's a saturating fear. That's the invasive kind of fear that often originates in childhood, and it permeates our lives in ways that we don't really see. I think that is more like the spirit of fear that's mentioned in 2 Timothy 1:7, and that's kind of the fear that becomes a phobia. It becomes enmeshed within our personalities. An example of a saturating fear would be a fear of abandonment that pervades your adult relationships because maybe your dad left when you were small. And I actually have an example in the book of my own saturating fear that I had to deal with. It's relating to the fear of humiliation, and something that just came to me as an adult that I realized I had this pervasive fear that's governed my behavior for my entire adult life. It's really a benign behavior, but it was amazing to me when I had the aha moment, and I talk about that a little bit in the book too. And then the fourth fear is simmering fear. That's the fear of the unknown, the things that we've never experienced ourselves that we may have developed an underlying dread for based on other people's experience and our own speculation. An example of simmering fear would be financial ruin or death, or even the what-ifs, which I mentioned earlier. And then the last category is the sovereign fear, and that's the type that's born of respect. It's not really the sphincter pucker moment that we're used to when we think of the word fear, but it's the subjection that we willingly place ourselves under to authorities, such as our parents, our teachers, and, of course, Papa God.
That's amazing. That's amazing with all these fears. And I was looking through the book as well, and I had two of your topics there, soul suckers and toxic talk. Can you tell us about those two chapters?
Well, what were they? You mentioned soul suckers?
Yeah, soul suckers and toxic talk.
Well, the soul suckers is all about rejection. The story, each of my chapters has a personal story in there from myself or from someone else. And that starts with the story of Philip, who is a friend of mine, and how his dad walked away when he was 2 years old, and he never saw him again until he was 35 years old, except for one time when he was a child. He was about 10, and his dad was coming into a family funeral and saw Philip and turned his back and walked away. And it was the ultimate of rejection for Philip. And Philip, because of that, became a perfectionist. And I think some of us who are perfectionists may not realize we have things in our past that have helped create that within us, the idea that we just aren't good enough, and if we make everything perfect, people will respect us, and people will like us, and then we will be acceptable. But, I deal with that a lot. That's what that book is about how to deal with that anger deep within and how to finally accept yourself and to work on your self-esteem, which are all things that will help us with the fear of rejection. And what was the other chapter you mentioned?
Toxic talk.
Toxic talk. I talk about the voices that drown out our, I think toxic voices can drown out our faith. It's static that we can't hear our God voices anymore. We can't hear the Father trying to whisper that still small voice because of all the toxic voices that are in the way. And it's negative self-talk. I actually go into that quite a bit in my book, Too Blessed to Be Stressed. I have several chapters on that, and I even have a video at my website if anyone would be interested in seeing that. I think it's a two-minute stress buster, and I think it's very good to deal with that particular topic. But in this book, that chapter is dealing with, I talk about different biblical examples of people that had listened to the toxic voices within, for example, Peter, for example, David, Jonah, and I deal with a lot of them that I kind of explain which toxic voices they were listening to, the ones that elicit in us today the same kind of emotions as that we get fear, which include jealousy, anger, rage, selfishness, fear of doubt, frustration, depression, resentment. And how we can deal with that. And one of the ways that we can deal with it that's very, very effective is to develop what I call miracle memory. And that is, in my 35 years in physical therapy clinics, I've learned a few things about muscle memory. And that's, of course, when we repeat the same thing over and over, we do the same motions, then our muscles automatically default to that motion. We don't have to think about it. It just happens. And muscle memory is how a gymnast is able to land a back tuck on a 4-inch balance beam, or how the pitcher is able to hit that inside corner of the plate when he wants to. It's that we just default to that. Our muscles know what to do. And I think it's the same thing if we develop miracle memory, that if we focus on the everyday miracles that Papa God has done and we keep track of them, I keep a prayer journal, and I highly recommend other people do. So we have those answers, those many miracles, those everyday miracles listed right in front of us, proof that Papa God is huge and stronger, and His Spirit is greater than the spirit of fear. And He can deal with any problems that we have. He's shown us over and over and over in His track record. And we will then be able to develop a miracle memory so that we default to faith rather than fear when we're facing something that scares the pants off of us.
Amen. Now, fear can create a lot of anxiety. What are some steps that people can take to overcome anxiety when they feel it, you know, is pressing in on them?
Well, anxiety is very, very frightening, and it's actually worry. Worry is a way that we think we're in control. We worry because we haven't turned our fears over to the Lord. And worry, I think, and anxiety are caused by they're byproducts of fear, that we haven't been able to turn that over. And I try to give quite a few examples in the book of how people, I think women learn from other people's stories, which is awesome. And that's, I think, something that we can all do. If somebody else has a successful story, how they dealt with it, and therefore we do too. One of the examples in the book for dealing with anxiety is a woman of faith veteran, Patsy Claremont. A lot of people don't realize she's a funny lady, and she's actually a very friend of mine who is a very lovely person who has endorsed my books. But she dealt with anxiety to the point of it was debilitating years ago. And a lot of people don't know that about her. And I tell a little bit about her story in there in my book as well, where she was bedridden. She was to the point where she could not get out of her house or her bed. And she was just totally zombied. Her fears controlled her. And one day she came, and she was a believer. She was a Christian through all that time. So we're not immune.
Amen.
Christians are definitely not immune to fear overcoming us. And so one day she woke up, and she was lying in her bed, and she was praying about it. Lord, help me with this anxiety. I'm just overwhelmed. And He sent her a directive in the form of three words, and it changed her life. And oddly enough, those three words are not what you would expect expect. They were, make your bed. And she realized the brilliance in that, because if it was something she could do. She couldn't do a lot. She couldn't do much of anything, but she could do that. And if she had made her bed, she couldn't be in her bed. So she had to be up and functioning, and it was the baby steps. It was one of the very small steps that she took in the very beginning to help her overcome that anxiety. And I go over several other things in the book as well, which I probably don't have time to mention now.
Amen. Give them your website, if you don't mind. That way they know where to find you.
I'm at DeborahCoty.com, and that's spelled a little funky. It's DeborahCoty. No H on Deborah, and Cody is with a T like the perfume.
Amen. And do you want to give out your Facebook and your Twitter?
Well, you can go to my website and click on both Facebook and Twitter, and I would love to follow. I'm very good about returning if people want to contact me. I'm very good at trying to keep a relationship with folks, and I do enjoy making new friends.
Amen. It's been a blessing having you on the show, and like I mentioned to you before the show, get a hold of me so we can get you in the video over there when we're at the ICRS. I'd love to interview you again.
Oh, thanks, David. That sounds awesome.
God bless you. You take care.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. And that was Miss Deborah Coty, not with an H. And Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A, Coty, COTY.com. Please go to that site and view all the stuff that she has. She has videos there that's going to help you. She also has other reading material there that you can get. And you can get this book, Fear, Faith, and a Fistful of Chocolate. And you can get that at any of the retail stores. And I'm sure you can get that from her website as well. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of us. Again, our address is Rev Media Network, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. We'll catch you next time on The MedWatch. We'll be interviewing someone on Thursday. Please be a part of it. And God bless you. We'll talk to you next time.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.